Good morning, brothers and sisters. We welcome all of you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ in this morning hour. All who we are gathered here, be welcome. And also those who are joining us online, we welcome you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for this broadcast. And may the Lord everywhere where His word reaches accomplish for what He sends it for, in each individual wherever he is, and each one who receives and accepts His word, that he comes to the conviction that he will be part of it when the Lord returns, that we are taken up together into His glory. Greetings I have to give in a manifold way. We receive some information from all over the world, the brothers and sisters who are connected and joined with us. They send greetings to the whole church. And so also from this place, we send you the warmest greetings wherever we are heard. In particular, greetings from Brother Eric and Helene Schlag. They're not far from here. The brother is handicapped, but they believe the word. They hold fast to it. And this is the most important, that we hold on and are not distracted. We have the truth and we have received and accepted it. In particular, I would like to go into the songs which we have sung as a choir. Here the last song says, the third stanza, only the one can sing the song of praise who has found grace with God, who by faith in Jesus as his Savior is delivered from sin and death. And then, oh, wonderful praise of song, there on the throne, when heaven and earth will sing to the Son. This applies also for us. Each one who accepted the Lord, whoever received him, to whom he has given grace, he may believe the word as we hear it today in the clarity. He may accept it and also believe it. The one song, wonderful is the name of Jesus. Over land and sea it sounds forth. The great name of Jesus, there is comfort. I found comfort and peace. We need comfort and peace. In this world, there's much unrest. We don't have to go into it. By the name, through the name, and this is important to repeat, through the name, iniquity and malice has to vanish. Jealousy has to vanish. This may not be if we are born again. Hatred and jealousy, envyings, and malice, no. The captives he gives liberty. Praise be to the precious Lamb of God. And this is it, what we can say, where we can all say, yes, I was delivered. I may be a child of God. May the Lord bless us in this morning hour by the riches of His grace. And also what we'll still hear, that we are edified, that we are comforted, that it strengthens our faith. Let us sing a song, song number 20. Hymn number 20. Number 20. Fear not, I am with thee. No, he never leaves me alone. Because he has promised, I am with you until the end of the world. And when we trust him, then we will reach our destination. We don't know, not by our own works, not by our own willings, but by his strength and by his grace. As long as we abide in the Word, as long as we have this guideline, this Word as our guideline, then we are on the right track, and the Lord will take us unto himself. I am convinced of it. And are you also convinced of it? Because that must be alive in us, that we are the redeemed, that we are the delivered, loose from all sins, loose from all unbelief, from the sin of unbelief. Everything else are mistakes and failures. We miss it here, we miss it there, but our Lord overlooks it. He forgives it. These are not empty words or consolations of men. No, we are confident that the Lord will come very soon. Let us sing another song, song number 27. At the cross, open your heart, thank the Lord, and sing it from the bottom of your heart. 27. At the cross. May it be so. And not only that we have sung it, but that it has become a reality in us. That what happened at the cross, that happened for each one personally. And not thinking, for me is nothing. Oh yes, there is something for you. Today, this blood speaks for us. Because we are under the covering of his blood. As Israel, thank you. When they went out and put the door upon the doorposts, and the destroyer had to move by, so we are under the protection of the blood, and the destroyer has no right on us. He must bypass us. And this must be anchored. Yes, the death angel will frighten us. But we have a confidence. We can say, cry, shout around. I know where my resting place is. I know where I am safe. And this is under the protection of his blood. He leads us and guides us through his word, through his Holy Spirit. I would like to read us Psalm 27, a few verses. Psalms 27, headline, A Joyful Confidence in the Lord. And request for his protection. We depend on his protection, and we may have a joyful confidence in the Lord. And then it says, The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. We are also required and requested to bring him praise and honor, to seek him. We don't want to lift up ourselves above our enemies. No. We want that our enemies accept also the Lord and that they experience also their salvation. I will offer with sacrifice of joy. How does it look like? The praise of our lips, that we really bring him praise and glory and honor. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me, when thou sayest, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. And this is a request for us. Ye shall seek my face. And then we can say, Therefore I seek thy face, O Lord. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Also, this is a request for us to wait for the Lord and to trust in him. Yes, David said it. The enemy attacks me. We also are attacked by this or that. But our trust, our faith and confidence is in our Lord. I am sure to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Let us stand and pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Also for that, what we could express in the songs, that our hearts are comforted and encouraged. And what we read in this psalm, that David relied on you, and we also rely on you, for you are our refuge and our shield. Please, comfort each one here and everywhere where they are joining us online, where there is comfort needed, that you may give comfort through thy word, and where there is healing needed, that you heal there, and where there is deliverance needed, that the deliverance takes place for the glory of thy name. I thank you with all my heart that we can come with everything to you, being assured that you hear us. Blessed be thy holy name forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. How grateful we are to God every time we come under the sound of the Word and hear what He has to say to us, and let ourselves be blessed anew. Brother Rus said, I should say what is on my heart. That is a difficult thing to do. There is a cry in my heart that we would hear from heaven, a cry that God comes into His own, a cry that He will begin to work and that we may be available to Him. When the word was read, we all understood how difficult the text that was spoken here was, and especially the Jews, who already had great difficulty with everything. They were told, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." And as earthly as they were, they imagined the matter vividly. Yes, his flesh distributed a little here and there, and everyone takes a little bit. Perhaps the blood is also divided up a little. But here lies the point, namely in verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The divine meaning had to be understood in these words. Earthly thoughts were of no use here. divine thinking had to follow divine words in order to know what the Lord really meant. He gave His body and shed His blood to redeem a church that has received a share in Him. And just as He came into humanity, He has given us the opportunity to be restored to the divine state, as we have seen. He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The share in Him, not only in thought or doctrine, but through an experience with God. And we have said it again and again, God can be experienced, God can be encountered even in these days. We have gained access to the Word of God, in which the Spirit has opened up the Word to us and made it alive. Of course, if we had been unbelieving at that time, we would have reacted as the Jews did then. For them, it was simply annoying, it was an offense. But for the believers, it was not an offense. They remained with the Lord. And especially the 12, for they were asked, do you also want to go away from me? Then came this powerful answer, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. That was the answer of those who were not offended. Whether they understood it, we leave open, but they remained with the Lord. Whether they understood or not, they remained with the Lord. We too can testify to the same thing. We have heard and read many things over the years that we did not understand, but we have remained with the Lord. We did not turn back, but remained with the Lord and followed Him step by step, from clarity to clarity, from truth to truth, from knowledge to knowledge. And so it will continue until we come from believing unto seeing. In this context, because it is also about Him giving His life, I think of what is written in Hebrews. I believe it's in chapter 13. One moment, please. Hebrews 12 first. No, 13. Of course, 13. Hebrews 13. Starting with verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. The faith of the men of God was a living revelation. They heard the word received it through inspiration. And just as faith comes to us by hearing, so it came to them when they received the word. And when it says in Jude that we should contend for the faith that has been delivered unto the saints once for all, it should be understood that way. Jude verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Faith has been entrusted to those who do not doubt what God has said. A person who doubts does not believe, and whoever believes does not doubt. As I said before, even if you do not understand some things completely or immediately, we believe that they are true, because God has said so, and because it is written in the Word. So we should take as our example the faith of those who persevered, and then, of course, received their reward. Then it says here, in verse 8, very well known, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. When we have been blessed, saved and pardoned by God, gratitude arises in our hearts, and we offer to God the sacrifice of praise, the thanksgiving of our lips. And it's written, whoso offereth praise unto me will I show the salvation of God. There are certain guidelines in the Word of God, and this is one of them, to thank God for what he has done for us. Jesus, our Lord, went outside the city gate, suffered, carried the cross, shed his blood to purify and sanctify a people who would be useful for good works. It is not of ourselves, but it is by his grace that we have become so. And for this too, let us thank God from the bottom of our hearts. I have another word that fits here from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. And then I would like to know if we have any questions that we can address right away. We have a Bible study tonight, after all. Hebrews chapter 11, from verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. It always depends on where we focus our attention. If we have our goal in sight and know what reward awaits us in glory and what eternity holds, then we can leave things to the right and left and reject the best and greatest offers if they would lead us astray from the path and prevent us from reaching our goal. Moses received a very powerful offer. It says here, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He could have had a very fine position, a great man, a lot of influence, and so on. Perhaps he would have been next in line for the throne. But all that meant nothing to him. On the contrary, he despised it. He despised it. And the reason is given, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Dear heart, if you have decided to follow the Lord, it may even happen that great offers come your way here and there. But if they are designed to lead us away from our goal, then leave them to the right and to the left, and stay on the path that leads to eternal life, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Is that also your attitude and mine? Yes, that is our attitude. We want to take upon ourselves all the contempt that the people of God have to bear for the sake of the word and the name of Jesus. And why? Because we have our eyes fixed on the goal. And come what may, we know in whom we believe. We know what awaits us at the end of the path. We have already read about faith earlier and referred to it briefly. Here, in one chapter, namely in Hebrews 11, faith is mentioned about 20 times, and what became possible through faith. And who were the people who believed? They were people whom God had spoken to, whom God had called, and with whom God had plans. They believed in their time and thus gave their testimony that they were on God's side and ready to bear the reproach. But listen, Christ was not even born at that time. It is written in Luke 2, "Today Christ is born to you, who is the Lord, in the city of David." At the time of Moses, Christ had not yet been born. And it says here, "esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt." The prophets were seers. They saw in spirit what was to come. They knew that the Messiah would come, who is Christ the Lord. And even then, they were part of the Word that ultimately became flesh and was manifested here on earth. All the men of God, all the prophets, all the men of God, all the prophets manifested a part of God's plan of salvation in their time. And it was revealed to them that they did not minister unto themselves, but unto us who would inherit salvation. Thus it is written, "No prophet served himself. First they served God, and then the people of God, in order to expound and proclaim the whole plan of salvation." Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For his eyes were fixed on the reward. I can imagine what is described in Matthew 17. There the Lord climbs the Mount of Transfiguration with three of his disciples, and suddenly Moses and Elijah appear, and they talk together about the outcome of everything that was happening in Jerusalem. How must Moses have felt? Perhaps he was already thinking that it had been worth rejecting the earthly offer and holding fast to the divine offer, for his eyes were fixed on the reward. And there on the Mount of Transfiguration, Elijah and all the other prophets were also looking forward to it. They turned their backs on this world. And as the Holy Scriptures say, the world was not worthy of them. They carried the noble seed of God's Word, were stoned, persecuted, beaten, tortured, crucified, and so forth. And our Lord says, "Where is there a prophet whom you have not persecuted, a man of God whom you have not stoned?" They went forth, and God was with them. We might ask, if God was with them, why did they have to go into caves, wandering in goatskins, and suffer so many afflictions? Here, read it. "And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, moreover of bonds and imprisonment." Hebrews 11, 36, then verse 37. "They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. God does everything right, but look how difficult were the paths of those whom God called, whom God used. Some songwriter puts it this way: should I walk on roses while others have to walk on thorns? Humanly speaking, we wish for a direct and elegant path, but there is none. God's path is steep and thorny. It is narrow, but it leads to heaven. And when all these men who carried the divine seed of the word had to endure mockery, rejection, and everything else, should we expect recognition? Should we think that one day this world will say, "Huh, you did a fine job"? That is not possible. Ye are in the world, but not of the world. If they hated me, they will also hate you. For the disciple is not above his master. If he suffers as his Lord did, then he can be content. Let us not wait to find recognition in this world. And Brother Branham, as a prophet anointed by God, understood this very deeply and well. He says it often enough. Every time a spiritual revival subsides, things are organized according to the pattern of the first organization, and then it's all about recognition from the state, recognition in this world. And what happens then? Then we lose sight of what is most important. Then we are concerned, just like everyone else, and we slip away. God will take care. Brother Branham also said that no new denomination will arise from this last revival, but that the bright church will be brought to perfection. And just as the bridegroom found no recognition, so we, if we belong to the bride, will find no recognition. But as it is written, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and so we also believe that all who were ordained for eternal life will believe. But we will not have to conform to them. They will have to face God and His Word. And here we have the point that matters. God cannot go in all directions. God wants everyone to go in His direction. He wants us to respect His Word, to accept and embrace it, and to agree with Him, and not contradict or interpret it, but simply say, "You said it, and so it is right." Now coming back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26, a wonderful verse. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for his eyes were fixed on the reward. What did God say to Abraham? Your reward will be very great. And why? Because he believed God. Simply believed God. He laughed. Abraham laughed heartily. You all know that. Yes. Abraham, when the promise was made, I don't know if I can find it right away, but he did. Sarah also laughed. She laughed to herself. That's in chapter 18. But in chapter 17, verse 17, it says, then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. He laughed with all his might. He laughed with all his heart. I read it in the Bible, not in the newspaper. I read it in the Bible. Genesis 17, verse 17. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And you all know what God said. Here, in chapter 18, it was Sarah who laughed. And she lied on top of that. And that was not good. The Lord would have judged her on the spot if it had not been for the promise he had made to Abraham. Here, in Genesis 18, verse 13, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. Some people lie out of fear. Not everyone lies because they enjoy it, but some also lie out of fear. And as I said, this was the case here. I did not laugh, she said, for she was afraid. But he replied, yes, you did laugh. The Lord did not leave this open. He did not let her get away with it. He corrected her and said, that's how it was. How gracious is our God. It is written, where is it? In Romans 4 or Romans 3 verse 4. God is true, though every man is a liar. And you know, as I said it today to Sister Gute Kunst, a dear new sister who was added, she was baptized here today. Welcome among us. God bless you. God bless you all. And suddenly, during the table talk, I said that Mary had uttered the worst lie that ever existed on earth. And you can imagine what it may cause to make such a statement. But it is true. You can read about it. When the Lord Jesus was 12 years old and stayed behind in the temple in Jerusalem, and then she comes back and says excitedly, your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety. With that, she told the biggest lie and called Joseph the father of Jesus. And you can imagine why the Lord then intervened and said, did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Corrected immediately on the spot. If I write that again, the Pope will come down on me. But as I said, they will all get what's coming to them. All the things that are not right must be straightened out. The people, I don't know if you know this, you can't tell anyone, but in the last edition of the Star magazine on page 216, they printed the joke of the week. And I tell you, it moved me so deeply. You all know what a joke is. They included our Lord in it. And I had to write to them. I couldn't help it. It went something like this. A Jew becomes a Catholic and complains to God. That is, the Jewish father was horrified that his son had become a Catholic and renounced the Jewish faith. And in this joke, I almost gave it an Austin name because I'm so upset inside. And then it says that the good God said, don't get upset because my son was also a Catholic. You can imagine, I don't know what I could do. And of course, I wrote it down, but I don't know if it will be published. But people have really lost everything, all fear of God, everything. I'll tell you one thing, neither Mary nor anyone else was Catholic. There was no Catholic Church in the first 3 centuries. There was only one Christian church in Rome, nothing more. There were churches in Corinth, Ephesus, and everywhere. Yes, yes, one day, as I said, we will give them a dressing down. But God has destined us to tackle these two pillars once again at the end of days, like Samson. In the meantime, we grind the mill, and the people all pity us for not having made more progress. But don't worry. Day and night, it cries out within us, Lord, once more. Once more, so that it may be revealed that you are the true God and we are your people. Oh yes, we have a glorious divine message that must be delivered. And how often did Brother Branham say that in the times of the Reformation and the other church ages, many ends were left loose. People were not able to see and understand things as we do today. Even the prophet Daniel said in chapter 12, verse 4, or God said to him, seal up the book until the end time. Many will search in it, and so knowledge will increase. We are grateful that we are allowed to live in the time when the seals are being opened, in the time when the mysteries of the world and the kingdom of God and the mystery of Christ are truly being revealed, in which all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge of God are hidden. On the one hand, hidden. On the other hand, revealed. That is again the beauty of it. That is how it has always been and how it will remain. Some see it, others do not. Some understand it, others do not. Some accept it, others reject it. Let us move on quickly. And then we will probably have no more questions. Perhaps more will have been answered than could be asked. It goes on to say, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That too is a wonderful word. Hebrews 11, 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Oh, that faith may give us anointed eyes, that we too may understand. Although the Lord is invisible to our eyes, yet we know that he said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Everything is faith again, and that faith is revelation. Brother Branham said so often, faith is revelation. Revelation about what God has communicated and promised to the believer. Living revelation, connection to God through His Word and Spirit, and revelation about what God has promised. And faith already accepts it as if it had happened. Think of it. Moses considered the reproach of Christ to be greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. It was Moses who said, God will raise up a prophet like unto me from among your brothers. Whoever does not hear him will be cut off from the people. Then it was no longer Isaiah or Jeremiah. Then it was the God prophet, the Word made flesh, as it is written. God spoke to the fathers in diverse manners through the prophets in times past, but in these last days he has spoken to us through his Son. Here we see clearly that God gave the answer. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. We understand what faith is. Faith is connected with what God says, and whoever believes puts it into practice. God said, every family shall slaughter a lamb, and the blood shall be put on the doorposts. And they did what God said in faith. And God stood by his word. The angel of death raged throughout the land, and there was crying in every house, so that no one could bear it. But behold, there was peace and quiet in the houses of the Israelites. The blood was on the doorposts. And the Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over that house. For there is a firstborn there, and the firstborn shall be spared. We are the firstborn under the blood of the Lamb. The angel of death may rage. He wants to devour us. He goes about like a roaring lion. I don't know when he'll be full. But let him go. One day he too will be no more. Then I will rejoice when he is bound and cast down. But he has his task to fulfill. I like to read this verse again. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. This is what God said. And Moses gave the command, and he and all the people did so. And behold, nothing happened to them. The firstborn remained unharmed. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. Yes, when God says, I will bring you out of this place to another land, and when the sea stands in the way, God makes a way where there is no way. We must simply say this. Our God is never put to shame. He makes a way even where there is no way and paves the way for His people. But it says here, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. When I was at the Red Sea, I thought of this passage and wondered where they had passed through here. How wonderful that one simply knows that it is true. Do you remember when a very clever man came to Brother Branham and said, you know what, they didn't cross the Red Sea at all, but at the very end they crossed the Reed Sea, where the water only came up to their knees. Oh, Brother Branham says, then I don't see one miracle, I see two, namely that God drowned all of Pharaoh's armies with so little water. Yes, that's just the way it is. Faith also has the answer to the doubts of unbelievers. Are we on God's side? Amen. We cannot do otherwise. I tell you, we are connected to Moses, to all men of God, to all the saints who have gone before us. And if we had lived in their days, we would have marched so closely behind them in faith, and by it would have testified that we are on God's side. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. God had paved the way for His people, not for His enemies, for His people. And when the enemies walked on this paved way, they perished. One could continue reading here. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Tell that to an unbeliever, that they marched seven times around it, and on the seventh day seven times, and then the trumpet is blown, and suddenly all the walls collapse. Unbelievers have such a hard time believing, don't they? That is the problem. But we can believe. Who was with us in Jericho when we saw the remains of the walls there? There are just a few remnants of the walls of Jericho that collapsed when they fell after being marched around for 7 days. Brothers and sisters, we must now reach the climax here. What was it? How did it happen? The divine order was fulfilled. What the Lord said was done exactly. 6 days once, on the seventh day seven times, and on the seventh time, then the priests and the Levites and all who were there, everyone did what they were commanded and assigned to do. And what shall I say to you? The living God only needs to look down from heaven, and it happened because He had spoken it. A word of God can never be broken. It can never be taken back. God said it, and in that rested the faith, and faith followed action, and action followed God's deed. And so the children of God, the men of God, the people of God, saw the hand of the Lord. Let us now simply accept this in faith. that where we act according to the word and command of the Lord, God cannot do otherwise than confirm it, because He has already said so, and He stands by His word. The heavens would fall before your word deceives me, as the song goes. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word remains forever. He, the Lord, who sent all His servants and prophets at all times, and as written in chapter 12, as we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us be courageous, let us go forward and trust the Lord, asking Him to give us courage and strength to put our faith into action, so that He may carry out and confirm what He has promised. Praise and glory be to His holy name. Amen. Let us rise. My heart is also moved to thank you and worship you, O God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the living God, and not the God of the dead, and we do not seek the living among the dead. You are risen, you speak, you work, you save, you heal, you bless. Lord, make us a biblical church, people who know that they are under the protection of the blood. Give us the seal of the Holy Spirit, O Lord. We believe you and we trust you. Thank you for the Holy Scriptures, for the wonderful testimonies they contain. We thank you for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.